When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett here, getting you through what's going to be a great week of basketball. We've got Husker baseball, softball rolling through. But I want to get on the topic of basketball, guys, because that is our opening headline. Unfortunately, not about the games going on right now, but you know, something that happened a couple of years ago involving a Husker player, Ashley Scoggins, and a former Amy Williams women's basketball assistant coach, Chuck Love Sr. You know, it's come to light 2 years later now. You know, an incident happened at State College, Pennsylvania, which led to her dismissal. And then eventually, you know, Chuck Love left the program. And now 2 years later, Ashley Scoggins put out a lawsuit against the University of Nebraska Board of Regents, the athletic department, athletic director Trev Alberts, basketball coach Amy Williams, for the incident that happened 2 years ago. And we're not going to get into the descriptive details of it. But Nebraska has since responded that they're going to fight this thing, you know, as hard as they can as well. So we've got a real potential ugly situation brewing, something that was 2 years ago that you probably maybe have forgotten about. But, Sip, I'm going to toss it to you because obviously you've got a legal background with multiple relatives in your family with strong legal backgrounds, defense backgrounds.
Thank you for clarifying that, by the way.
You're the black sheep of the Sipple brothers.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Now, this lawsuit, Sean and Rob and Abby, filed in U.S. District Court actually on Sunday. So Ashley Scoggins accused the former associate head coach Chuck Love of using his position and influence with head coach Amy Williams to groom Scoggins into a sexual relationship. It's serious. The lawsuit also alleges Williams and Trev Alberts, the Husker athletic director, this is critical too, failed to ensure the coaching staff maintained appropriate boundaries with student athletes and to violating Scoggins' rights. I mean, any parent that sends their child off to college or anywhere, you hope it's an appropriate environment. And you know, the lawsuit alleges that the environment wasn't appropriate, and that's an incredibly serious charge for the athletic department, for Amy's program, and for the university in general.
Yeah, and you can say, oh, she was a consenting adult, but
Scoggins,
she's 21, but Chuck Love was her
superior.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he was married with four children. So, like, there's definitely a lot there to this story. And it's unfortunate. I mean, we're in the middle of a really, really good basketball season for both the men's and the women's team. And this thing hits a week after they beat Caitlin Clark in Pinnacle Bank Arena. You know, and I guess I don't know, guys, where this goes next. Like, what is, you know, is the next step a courtroom or a settlement? No. What do you expect, Sip?
There'll be some legal... It'll be in the system is the best way to put it. Yeah, eventually there could be a settlement. There'll be some steps that have to occur before that. You wouldn't figure this would go to the courtroom. I wouldn't think so. I mean, Nebraska's statement was interesting to me because they said they denied the allegations, and there's a long list of allegations, and they said they'll vigorously defend them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means taking it to the court of law, which would be an incredible scene because you'd have so much testimony from players and coaches
and the athletic director.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to get it that you don't want it to mm-hmm. go that far. So no.
The last thing you want is your athletic director sitting on a stand in a case like this, mm-hmm. and that's just the optics of it.
Well, it'd be widely covered.
Yeah, and so, like, I think if you're in Nebraska, you try to get this thing settled one way or the other sooner than later.
Well, what if Scoggins doesn't want to settle it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
question.
What I mean.
It's a good question.
What if she's question. Like, no, I'm not interested in money. I want justice.
That would be interesting.
I mean, so there's a lot there we don't
know. That's a
know.
Question that I haven't that hasn't been posed to me. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's
because
good
Nebraska one. Could say, hey, we disagree with all this, but there's no need to go forward with this. We're willing to, you know, end this now for this and move forward because this is not going to be good for you, us, anyone to go into a courtroom with this thing.
No, you're right. So there's a lot of questions. Why now? I mean, is it coincidental that the filing in U.S. District Court was made just as Nebraska's getting ready to make a push for the NCAA tournament, or is that done intentionally? I don't. You wonder. I mean, it's really bad timing.
Well,
for
she's
Andy.
Lawyered up. I mean, her attorney is a big
Scoggins.
Scoggins' attorney was the attorney for the Beatrice Six case.
Right. So then if you just want to take it away from the kind of sordid details, you have to wonder how this affects Amy right now, just on a day-to-day basis, as she does prepare her team for these games down the stretch, which are critical games for her. I mean, it's a hard time. I mean, it's a hard time for the athletic director. The athletic director's his job is really difficult. I mean, it's really difficult right now, not just because of this, because of a lot of different elements. Namely, he's got to raise money for a massive stadium project.
And you don't have a president right now.
And you don't have a president.
You have an interim president. Mm-hmm. You have a board of regents that has essentially, you know, given a huge vote of confidence to Trev Alberts with a big new contract. And he doesn't have a boss right now. So there's kind of a, you know, some hierarchy questions, I think, as you look at this from afar. Who is Trev Alberts reporting to, or like who are the main players in this behind the scenes from the university level? Is it the Board of Regents?
Yeah.
Is there somebody else?
Who's the legal counsel that's handling it in-house? All that. If this is public. This is a public matter. You can read the lawsuit, and I would call it jaw-dropping. I mean, it's a jaw-dropping set of allegations.
Descriptive details would be the best way to.
Yeah, and it's not something that it would expect, or we haven't seen this at Nebraska. I would encourage you, if people are really wondering what's going on and why we're talking about it in these tones, read it. I mean, it's a very they're serious allegations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I broached Trev's name, because it's damning. I mean, it's that could happen in your like, for instance, there's allegations that they met in various places throughout the athletic facilities, that those things are going on under his watch. It's not good. I'm not blaming him for it, but it's ultimately his responsibility.
Well, then, as far as they're concerned, too, the fact that the Title IX investigation was
stopped
in 2022, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, why?
Why?
So, my understanding
is right after Love resigned.
Once Love resigned, the employee involved in the investigation, since he no longer worked there, they stopped the investigation. Mm-hmm.
There might be a legal reason for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just reading a story by KTV. It says, in its policies, Nebraska's policies and procedures when it comes to Title IX, a Title IX complaint may be dismissed if the respondent, in this case, which would be Chuck Love Sr., is no longer employed by the university. So that was kind of their grounds for it. But I'm sure they're like, well, wait a minute. You think that all these people that allowed this stuff to happen are just off the hook now, that they fired the coach? Mm. I think that's probably the greater issue when it comes to Nebraska, Trev, and Amy Williams.
Yeah, lots to follow on this, as surely this will not be the final conversation we have on this show, but it could be. I mean, if it settles and things get, like, do you even find that out, Sip?
You would. You'd find it out eventually, but it won't happen quickly.
It could be a year from now.
Yeah, I don't want to put a timeline on it, but I'm not a legal expert, but I don't think it will happen quickly.
Well, and for Nebraska, they can't just get reactionary, because they did what they did. And, I mean, they handled it the way they did. And Amy Williams has been the coach for 2 years now since the incident. So,
uh-huh.
you know.
Oh, it's tricky.
It's a tricky rope right now. They're walking.
Oh, it's really tricky. I mean, the allegations against the head coach are serious. I mean, her husband was involved in to a certain degree. It's really, I mean, Amy's got to coach under this cloud, which is not going to be easy at all, I wouldn't think. Maybe, you know, people can compartmentalize, and that's what she's going to have to do.
All right, when we come back, we are going to hit on the in-state tour. We held our opening event of the in-state tour this past week in Omaha at the Warren Academy. We had over 100 prospects come through the event this year. I believe I did 41 interviews, by the way, and 14 different teams that came through the event.
Churning and burning over there.
We run an assembly line. But we're going to give our thoughts on the in-state tour. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, talking now in-state tour. But before we get to that, the segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Start the new year off with a bang with big savings during the Omaha Steaks end of season event. You can stock up on all your favorites and get 50% off site wide. That's 50% off incredible steaks that have legendary butcher cut filet mignons, or sink your teeth into memorable butcher cuts top sirloins. Just go to omahasteaks.com. Plus, when you use promo code Huskers at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Nothing fights the winter blues like a delicious and satisfying meal from Omaha Steaks. From the perfectly aged tender steaks to juicy burgers, desserts, classic comfort meals, every bite is guaranteed perfect. For a limited time, get 50% off site wide. Plus, you'll save an extra $30 with promo code Huskers at checkout. And every purchase is backed by their unconditional money back guarantee. Oh, start the new year off right and warm up the winter with tender steaks and hearty home-cooked favorites from Omaha Steaks, all 50% off with their end-of-the-season event. Make sure you use that promo code, though, Huskers, at checkout to get $30 off your order. Thank you again to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us here. Great partners and sponsors and supporters of the Husker Online Show. Okay, so guys, we had the in-state tour in Omaha. That was on Sunday. So, Sip, it was your first time, mm-hmm. and you've known me a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done this event for a long time, mm-hmm. and I think you probably had an idea what we did. What were your thoughts of your first in-state tour?
It was eye-opening. It was very well organized. I mean, it was quite a scene, just Omaha area school after Omaha area school being paraded through that area of Warren Academy where we're at. And all seeing all those players, it was kind of a whirlwind. But being able to talk to Ty Wisdom and Coach Yonk and all the coaches that came through.
Coach Lamaggi.
Mark McLaughlin. All those guys. It was fascinating, really. And we get a lot from it. I mean, I got four columns out of it. Got to talk to Tyson Terry and his defensive coordinator, Hempel. I was really beneficial to those kids. You know, and the coaching staff.
It's like a miniature Big Ten media days. I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
I mean, because
with 14 teams, though,
and we do it in
whipping through that,
and we do it in 5 hours.
Yeah, Sean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know.
I don't either. Sometimes
I don't know how you keep everything straight.
I don't either. On it, I mean, and I do my best to like make sure I'm on for everyone. But 41 interviews, I addressed all 14 teams individually.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot for me that I have to be ready to go for, but We try to talk to at least two players from each team and their head coach on camera. Uh-huh. But then you and Brian and Abby are, you know, on the side doing additional interviews.
Yeah.
And we have a really good check-in. And one of my favorite things we've added recently, the surveys.
Yeah.
And so
we
survey the kids and the players as they come through the event. You know, and there's just a lot of different fun things you find out about them. Like in some of the hot button topics, like our transfers, like coaches weigh in on the transfers of at the high school ranks. Cause, that was a storyline this year.
I'll tell you what the big takeaway that people need to know about is Millard South. I mean, Millard South is loaded. They have a ton of talent. They have guys with offers.
And they've had guys transfer there from other programs.
Yeah. Chase Lofton, for instance.
And then Papillion's best lineman's there now.
Great. So Chase Lofton transferred from
Elkhorn North as a four-star tight end.
They have Isaac Jensen, who was there last year, actually was a really good tight end. They have Amarian Jackson. They have Jet Tamala. Jet Tamala doesn't have a Nebraska offer, but they've watched him. They went and watched him throw in the gym, in the Millard South gym, with Ty Wisdom there. It was Satterfield and Glenn Thomas. So one of the first things Glenn Thomas did when he hit town was go watch Jet Tamala. No offer yet. He's a 2026 quarterback. But I think he'll probably get one eventually.
Well, something to watch though, and one of our posters brought this up. Guess who else is a 2026 quarterback?
Yeah, Raiola.
Dayton Raiola.
Yeah. Well, you can offer them both, right?
Can you
offer them both?
Well, yeah, but how does that play out though? If like you only take one,
and can you take two? You can take two.
You can. It's not the norm though.
So that was a huge takeaway for me. Just Millard South, Ty Wisdom, very confident, cocksure young coach.
Cocksure, what was
it? Yeah, C O C K S U R E. You can look it up.
You're very cocksure sports writer.
Right. So yeah, he was very interesting to me. But just the whole Millard South presentation was interesting. They're loaded. They're the favorite to win it all.
I mean, they brought the most play. I mean, they brought more. I mean, they brought a lot of guys there. But I mean, I will say, 8 or 10 of their guys are legit FCS Division One prospects.
They have roster.
In terms of material.
Mm-hmm. There they are, right there.
Most material of any of the teams coming in. I mean, there wasn't a team that walked in that had this type of team.
And they're headed to Arizona to play a high school team in their first game of the year. Mm. So it'll be a pretty marquee game that people will be watching.
Because West Side lost a lot.
Yeah.
So like they're going to be good, but they're not as good as they were a year ago because all the guys they lost.
Who would you say would be the second-ranked team behind Millard South?
It's a really tough thing to say right now. If you're going to – I mean, assuming it's an Omaha team, I mean, because West Side does have Christian Jones and some other really good players. Steve Warren's son is evidently going to be their quarterback or step in as a sophomore.
Is that right?
Elkhorn South is always a good default, though. Like, no matter what, they're up there. Okay. Like, they may not be the number one team in Class A, but they're always going to be in the top four just based on the depth and the coaching they have there. Mm-hmm. Creighton Prep was young last year. Tim Yonk said in his years of coaching, last year's team was the youngest team he's ever had. So I do think Creighton Prep will make a step forward after how young they were a year ago. I mean, those are the teams that – Bellevue West, too. I mean, Will Anderson, though, is going to step in as a sophomore now. As a junior, mm-hmm. as their starting quarterback next year from Millard West, the transfer. So how will he step in? They've got a lot of weapons at Bellevue West.
The other thing that was interesting or significant, at least, at this Warren Academy for the in-state tour was Caden Vermoss and Tyson Terry were there. The two, you know, they hold scholarship. Well, they were
Pierce Mewberry.
Yeah, no, hold on. Tyson Terry and Vermoss have committed to Nebraska in the class of 2025. They were both there. Terry, fresh off his third state championship at the heavyweight division in Omaha North, and he's really impressive. I mean, both those kids are. Vermoss is an impressive kid. He's going to fight MMA. He was really, really excited to talk about how he's going to fight MMA, probably in the summer. He's already done it, some of it. It's interesting to me that he doesn't mind getting punched, which is a good sign. That's a good sign. Rob, some people don't like getting punched in the face.
What did he come up to you and say?
He said, hey, I'm going to be doing MMA. You want to talk about that?
yes.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Omaha North, too. I mean, they've
they're pretty good, right? 8-3 last year?
They lost Sebastian Cerco, their quarterback.
Yeah? Where'd he go?
Well, he was going to go to Miller North, and I think now, according to his Twitter bio, he's going to go to a high school in Florida.
Really?
I believe Western High School near Miami.
He's getting recruited.
He's got some offers, whether they're committable or legit, it's hard to say. But the Vikings have to get a quarterback. Mikey Gow has moved back to Nebraska, former Bellevue East quarterback that can throw left and right-handed. He might be the Vikings quarterback this year. He wasn't at our event. But, it will be interesting to see kind of how this team comes together here for Larry Martin.
And Reiman Ziebert was there. And Reiman. Is it Reiman?
Reiman.
Reiman Ziebert.
We're starting off on a bang.
Steaming Reiman.
Jordine Ziebert.
I heard you ask him, is it Reiman or Reiman? And he did say Reiman. Reiman Ziebert. So he's a tight end from Platteview.
You crashed the takeoff right away on your first official Husker Online, Reiman Ziebert.
Yeah, well, he's impressive.
Oh, man.
I mean, he really is. Like
six and a half.
In his stocking feet. I mean, that's a legit 6'6" and a half. So he's being Miami's offered him, right? Wisconsin.
Oklahoma State.
Minnesota.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Nebraska. And, so it was interesting to see those kids come through. I mean, the very best players in the Metro. And then you'll be in Lincoln this week.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Venn is pretty much full. I've had a couple more changes I made, but we'll have a full event of 12, 14 plus teams there as well.
Okay.
So
it was 21 years of doing this. There's guys that you maybe haven't heard about or guys people don't know about. Who's the one that jumps out to you the most that while doing the in-state tour maybe was totally off the radar that by the time all was said and done emerged as a legitimate dude that was essentially discovered on the in-state tour?
Gosh, I mean, there's a lot over the years. I'd have to really, I can remember going out to Cozad and meeting Jared Crick.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
He didn't have an offer.
There's a name.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And he didn't have an offer.
They had Luke Pinkelman, who was a Big 12 throwing champion, and then they had a running back who was kind of their star player, but he was an undersized running back. And I knew immediately, he just knew immediately. I don't want to say I knew, but you knew immediately Crick was the guy, even though, like, on that team, he was probably third on the totem pole in terms of recognition. But that's the thing about being a recruiting prospect, and parents sometimes don't get this. There's a difference between just being a good football player but also being a prospect.
Mm-hmm. How's that?
Well, prospects have upside, potential, areas to build. Mm-hmm. Like Robin can attest to this in basketball locally. There's good basketball players, but there's also prospects.
Yeah. And,
Like Hunter Salas, the fact that he was a five-star. People said he's not even the best player in the States because they're projecting where he's going to be.
And look at him now.
Down the road. Now he's a potential all-ACC player.
Is he playing that level?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So now, going to layer onto that, is there anybody that jumped out that could be that guy this year that you saw that
it's still
people
early.
Don't know about that you saw and like, I'm going to keep an eye on this kid?
You know, that's why I don't mind when the coaches will bring some of their freshmen that are going to be sophomores because you find, like, Isaac Jensen was there and Jet Tamala were freshmen last year. We met him last year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay with the younger guys coming just to get a jump on who they are. Because
absolutely,
by the time they're juniors, we know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. I mean, some teams will bring 6'8 guys, and we had one this year bring 20. So, I mean, we do our best to get through it, but we'll have a great event, and are you gonna be the Lincoln one?
We'll see on that. I don't know. I would say this: keep the name Jet Tamala in mind if you're a Nebraska fan. I mean, you always watch quarterbacks, and he could get an offer. Jet Tamala, 6'4", 180. Actually, he had a pretty good year last year. Yeah, he did. He threw for 26 touchdowns and 9 picks.
In a lot of years, he'd have been All-State, but he was. In a year that featured Daniel Kalen, Rezac, some very, very, very good quarterbacks.
I think he threw for 2,600 yards as a sophomore.
and like 26 touchdowns.
26 touchdowns, 9 picks. That's the stats, and he's their guy.
All right. When we come back, Bill Belichick is going to be speaking at the Nebraska Coaches Clinic. We'll discuss that.
You got to get more. Rob's thoughts on that.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. Nebraska Coaches Clinic will take place on the first weekend of April. And they've done this for many, many years. And one of the big things is they always try to bring in a keynote speaker, to draw coaches to come from out of town. And this year they announced Nebraska is going to have former New England Patriot head coach Bill Belichick in town to speak. And credit to Steve Sipple, he figured this is actually Bill Belichick's second time speaking at the Nebraska Coaches Clinic.
Yeah, second go round. Pelini had him here in 2012. I knew Pelini had brought in a big name, but I couldn't.
He wasn't available to the media. I remember that part. Is that right? I don't remember talking to Bill Belichick. Oh, Dick Vermeil's come.
Yeah, Dick Vermeil, Bob Stoops. Who else? They've had some
Norv
big names.
Turner, Norv Mike Turner. Smith, former Falcons coach.
Norv Turner.
Well, Bill Callahan had John Gruden come.
John Gruden.
In the peak of John Gruden.
Ed Orgeron, Les Miles.
Yeah, there's some big names. But would you say Belichick's the – well, yeah, Belichick's the biggest, yeah.
I'll never forget Gruden, though, like when he was here, a story I heard. You know, there's 1,000 coaches there, and he goes, all right, how many of you guys are defensive coaches? Raise your hand. And they all raise their hand. He goes, I hate all you mother effers.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that right?
That was kind of his, like, icebreaker to –
I don't think Belichick will do that. No. That's interesting. That's a good
opening. I did hear Les Miles' talk, and it was rough. I mean, it was just okay.
Really?
That was one of the more random ones, and they had a rugby tackling expert at the clinic trying to explain to Nebraska high school football coaches how to rugby tackle, and
Was Les's kid playing Ben Miles?
Yeah, it was
on the roster then?
It was the Bob Diaco year.
Yeah. So that made sense.
Yeah, that rugby tackling was a big topic back then. We spent as a media corps, we
filled
spent
up a summer's worth of content.
Yeah,
on
we
that.
Spent way too much.
I
time.
Didn't do it. I refused to.
Did you?
It's friggin' football. You tackle somebody, like you're not trying to rugby tackle.
Omaha South is coming out right now. Here it comes. Here comes Omaha South.
I looked around the room, and there were some coaches that were like writing notes down. A lot of guys just dropped their pen. They're like,
really?
Okay. I mean, there's some good ideas behind it all, but. Like, how do you teach, like, a 15-year-old kid, like, okay, we're going to rugby tackle? Like,
Was it a safety measure,
yeah,
basically?
That was, like, in the peak CTE era where, like, people were doing everything to try to reduce head trauma and all that sort of stuff. So the rugby tackling was a way to tackle without leading with your head.
Right.
Which was a point of emphasis, so it made sense. But, yeah.
But we did spend way too much time writing about it.
We got way too scientific about it.
Bob Diaco was actually not on board with it.
He wasn't.
It was a measure that was kind of brought down by Eichhorst.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean,
great.
Thinking about CTE. And
yeah. 100%, Sean.
Robin, now what do you think about Belichick? Are you going to roll in on and just have Giants gear?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that
you're not going to
never
have
lost
Giants.
To him in a Super Bowl. I mean, like, I don't know why anybody. Why could nobody else beat him? I never get it. But no, I'm a big Belichick fan. For one. Former Giants defensive coordinator on 2 Super Bowl teams, including shutting down the high-powered Buffalo Bills offense in the 1990 Super Bowl. But I digress. Yeah, I think it's an awesome guest. Like, I mean, if you're a football fan, Bill Belichick is, like, up there. Like him or hate him, I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And even without Tom Brady, his defenses were still good, really good. And so the football knowledge that he's going to pass on, I would highly recommend to anybody.
I hate to do this, but how many Super – I don't like
6,
to put,
right?
Super Bowl rings?
He's well, oh, no, 5.
Belichick has 8 total, not as a head coach. In his career, he's got 8.
Oh, okay.
He has 8 Super Bowl rings.
Head coach with Patriots, how many has he got? 5? 6?
I don't know, but that's
did Brady win 2 at Tampa or 1 at Tampa?
1.
Okay, so he's got 5 then, 5. I think.
So 8 Super Bowl rings – is ridiculous.
Yeah, he won 6 as a head coach, yeah. 2 with the Giants.
You wonder if Nick Saban will begin doing kind of a coaching clinic tour.
Yeah.
It does seem like if you're a guy like that,
yeah,
you know, that's how you stay kind of
yeah
present.
I see mean, people you like.
Good
see,
money, get to talk football,
yeah,
travel around.
With like-minded people. That's a good I wonder if Saban will do that. You would think he would. He loves to talk about it, I would mm-hmm. think.
And, I mean, these coaches get paid. I mean, there's budget to pay a coach. So, I mean, you obviously cover expenses, and I'm sure there's a fee you have to pay, but it's well worth it.
Great get, and again, Belichick's second go-round in this. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. I want to hit on the spring game recruiting, too, because
okay.
that is shaping up to be already a big recruiting weekend for Nebraska. And this past week, they have secured their quarterback visitor, TJ Latif, from Orange County, California, Lutheran High School, 4-star, will be coming to Nebraska that weekend. You know, and the quarterback chips are falling quickly. Alex Mansky, Iowa State. Dylan Duff from St. Louis Desmet Jesuit, who will play Creighton Prep to open the season. Mm-hmm. He committed to Kansas State this week.
He did.
And Nebraska offered Dylan Duff.
Okay.
So they move quickly, and it appears that TJ Latif is the target. And I think bringing a guy in for the spring game weekend makes a lot of sense because you're not going to get him for a true home game. So this is the closest thing, and hopefully – you're going to get 70,000 plus people there and put on a good show for them.
Isn't it interesting, too? In the past, you would look at those schools that are they're on the list, they're on our screen, and say, ah, can they pull him out of the Pac-12? No more Pac-12.
Yep.
So can you
That's
pull
Big him? Big Ten country out there now.
Yeah. So now, yeah, I mean, honestly, it gets a little easier to go to Orange County and get a quarterback.
Sure does.
You know, so yeah, that'd be big. That'd be big. TJ Latif.
Yeah, and he'll be, you know, in for the spring game, 6'2", 185, ranked by as a 4-star by the industry rankings. On3 still is not done. It's like updated 2025, so that should go through. And On3 generally, just from what I've seen, they like to start low on the early rankings. They don't want to go high, so they give out less 4-stars early, less 5-stars early.
Okay.
And then they build on it. That's really their process.
It's good to know that, seriously.
You know, like... the number of 5-stars right now will probably double by the time they do 32 a year, and they generally kind of let the process build. They don't just hand out 5-stars right away. There's money involved in these rankings.
Oh yeah,
with NIL.
One of the most interesting things that we took away from Honolulu was meeting that. We'll call him an agent. Now we'll call this guy an agent. You know who I'm talking about? Basically, a street agent. And he said in that world,
street agent,
that NIL has never, or excuse me, star rankings have never been more important because they're used in NIL valuation. That in
by for, some collectives.
Yeah, for by a lot of collectives. For those kids, the star ratings definitely matter more than ever, which I wouldn't necessarily have thought about, but it makes a lot of sense.
All right, when we come back, we are going to bring Abby Barmore into the show, and we'll take your questions here in the mailbag. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LipsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, Abby Barmore now joining us here on the program. But before we get to the mailbag, Steve Sipple, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by
Sean, Larson Motors. It's going to be 68 degrees today. One way to spend a day would be to whip down Highway 2 to Larson Motors in Nebraska City. I mean, it's beautiful. You can walk around the lot, look at new vehicles. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram never has been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com. or at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors, real people, real deals.
All right. Well, time for the mailbag, Abby. Where are we jumping off to?
All right, here we go. So, which 2023 Husker football players do you see being drafted or signed as a free agent in April? And I also want to know, are there guys on the team right now that you could see developing soon, maybe next year, being drafted as well?
I still think either Newsom or Omar Brown has the best chance.
Really? Not Ty Robinson? Or
For this draft.
For the 24 draft.
Oh, this current draft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so next year is going to be drafted.
And Reimer's in that conversation, too. So, who else?
I got to get reconnoitered here. So, yeah, who is it?
I mean, we're basically talking about we forget about Caleb Tanner. I mean, can he get into a roster or a camp? But I think Omar Brown, Quentin Newsom, Luke Reimer are probably the three that have the best chance.
Nordine, maybe. Nuili.
Yeah. Nuri.
Yeah.
Is it Nordine? Are we sure on that?
What else would it be?
I'm not trusting either of you guys.
I know the Hausmans pretty well, and they always just call him Nuri.
Yeah, it's spelled Nouredin.
I've never heard anybody but you call him Nordine.
So I'm pretty sure that's his name, like on the roster, but he just goes by Nuri, which is his
Nordine is
nickname.
The Jordine, Nordine,
Reimer.
Ryman.
Rail.
We do this for hours.
Rail instead of Ryle. But
okay. Nuili. Nuili will have a chance. Okay.
The Steve Sipple name game, and I'm sure your boys on 1620, like Josh and John, they could probably like put a reel together of your names.
Oh, it's a problem. Yeah, I mean, it can be a problem. I mean, there's some I'd definitely get right. You know, you've heard them.
So next year, Ty Robinson, Nash.
Definitely.
Maybe Ben Hart.
Ben Hart would have a chance. Ben Scott would have a chance.
Maybe one of those.
Is Buford a senior or junior? Tommy Hill.
Tommy Hill, you would think, would have a shot.
And Buford is technically a junior.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to play this game, Abby, because it's hard to know who's a junior and a senior anymore. And if
I'm just sticking with seniors, just because we know Singleton, maybe, if he plays.
Sure.
Up what to about, his potential.
What about Banks, Jamal? Or is he a junior? I don't know. What
he's a senior.
He's a senior. Jamal Banks.
Jamal Banks and Nayor. They only intend to be here 1 year.
Yeah.
I think Nayor could play two, but he's only going to do one.
And, Sean, you saw them at your event.
Well, Nayor looks like a pro prospect.
You saw him too. What'd you think of that? Whew. Nayor was more physically impressive than Banks to you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Their shoulders are huge.
Yes. He's got like an 80-some-inch wingspan.
Nayor.
Like, Nayor.
They looked bigger than like Fedoni and Borkature, the tight ends. They look bigger than those guys.
You're kidding.
But they're faster.
Not an exaggeration.
So how would they compare to Purify?
Not
Maurice.
As big.
Not quite as big?
No. I don't know, I just remember Purify just being like, when I think of like big receivers, he's the first guy I think of. So I don't know if I'd go. I haven't seen Aaron Pads yet in person. Purify. Maybe Purify. That changes the conversation. Yeah. But tell you what, he looks the part. See how he plays it. But
All right. Next question.
What is everyone's take on what you would change as far as the transfer portal and the numbers of times players can transfer without penalty of sitting out?
But there's waivers and ways around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can come up with, my sick uncle, or, you know, like you can come up with reasons to get a waiver. So I don't know if you can stop it. I don't. And I don't know if you can catch people tampering. I just feel like, We've started this, and this is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually, once we kind of get rid of the illusion of this like collective business, schools start paying the players directly, then we can start getting contracts. And if you come in, you can sign a 2-year deal. How about that? To where you're not every year going into the portal and testing the waters. Like,
Would the schools want to do that, though?
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
What if you're a bust?
Yeah, that's true. That's why it'd only be like a 2-year deal.
And again, the thing we don't know about the schools taking over is Title IX. Like, how can the schools pay the players, football players with a Title IX influence involved in the way they operate? Does that work?
Yeah, it seems like a legal matter.
Is it NIL at that point, or is it just a fattened stipend?
Yeah.
I don't know. These are questions that give me a headache, frankly.
Because well right now, Dylan Raiola is paid a legit roster value NIL deal. He will be. Yeah. But if the school takes that over, can they do that? Like, let's say 1890 is paying Dylan Raiola. Let's throw a number out, $1 million.
Okay.
Can Nebraska just say, like, how do they how will they determine, like, what the value of a player is? And, you know, like,
you know what the key question is in that, Sean? You're going to fire people now. I mean, you can fire employees. That's the thing that I don't know that players think of as much. Maybe they do. Maybe they already say, well, Sipple, we can already be fired. We get our scholarships taken away.
Yeah. The retirement package is what they call it.
You can't really get them taken away, though, unless you, like, violate team rules.
See, the thing, the whole employee thing, that push for employee status that's interesting to me is the ability to be fired. I mean, I don't know if they think about that part of it. You don't perform, you're fired. I mean, you got to think about that part, too.
Mm-hmm. And we saw very little attrition this offseason because I do think a lot of these guys realize how good they have it here.
100.
And if they enter the portal, all of a sudden, they lose everything. And if they end up at, let's just say, a MAC school or, you know, a lower school.
It happens. It happens.
You're going to maybe get your stipend that you had at Nebraska, like the school stuff, but you're not going to get the NIL roster value money.
Oh, yeah. People don't think about this, but you go from Nebraska to somewhere in the
Northern
MAC,
Illinois.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener. I mean, the world is much different in DeKalb, Illinois, than it is in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Gear, food.
Oh, everything.
Amenities.
Yeah. Oh, it's a different world, and that's got to be an eye-opener for some guys. Here I am in Toledo. I mean, these are schools that can play football well and all that, but the setup is nothing like Nebraska.
And it's the gap is widening by the day.
I know.
And I read this from Ross Dellinger this week. You know, one of the complaints is essentially Power Five programs can create as many as 30 additional scholarship players with NIL. Mm-hmm. And he said 30 because he was assuming a 105 fall camp. But really, I believe the fall camp roster number is now, I believe it's 120 now.
So more.
But so, yeah, you could
even
have.
If it's 30, that's sizable.
But you could have 85 scholarship guys and 30-plus NIL guys that are getting NIL deals that are valued as scholarships. And how do you stop that? How do you stop a person from earning? You can't.
Nope. Apparently not.
America.
Yeah. This is what we want. Again, this is what we wanted. This is what, I don't know. Not everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, everyone thought NIL was going to be fun burrito deals and furniture commercials and runs of tweets. That was NIL for about 2 months. Then the boosters got involved, and they organized, and they created collectives.
Mm-hmm. And then they quickly found out there's no one there to regulate what they're doing.
Right.
And so.
But for about a month, it was cool to see, oh, so-and-so's got his own burrito deal and runs a gift card. And I mean,
It was about a month.
Now if you went to a player and said, we'll give you $50 to tweet for a restaurant, they'd laugh at you.
Yeah, the high-caliber players would laugh. I'm not going to waste my time.
All of them probably would.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they don't do – that's not even done anymore.
No, good point. God, that's interesting.
Like, I remember one guy in Nebraska's team tweeted out, like, a pet service company or pet sitting company.
Well, and there was DeColdis Crawford with the air conditioner.
Yeah, that's kind of like the pinnacle of that era.
Well, Nash
– DeColdis Crawford. Nash is doing it now, yeah.
Nash does it now.
That was kind of the pinnacle of that, though.
But that's still like a legit. I mean, that's probably like a. I'm just going to guess like a $10,000 deal.
That's legit.
I mean, it's a legit deal.
Yeah, that's legit.
All right, final question.
Well, we made it through a record number 2 questions before the last one.
Okay.
Our last one. Do you have any fun summer vacation plans or trips?
It is 68 degrees. Time to start thinking about summer.
68.
In February.
We're front ending this year. Like, we're not going to go like. Maybe Colorado in the summer, but we've planned this trip out in March to go to Hawaii as a family.
Wow.
With points. I've been saving points up.
Points guy.
So we're going to Hawaii in March, and then I am going to speak in May to the Chicagoans for Nebraska Club again.
Chicago's a great place to go.
At the Big Ten offices.
That'll be fun.
And so my family's going to come out there with me to Chicago for a weekend.
Robin?
Going to Wyoming at the end of May, a little family reunion type deal out there in northeastern Wyoming, Sheridan to be exact.
Nice.
And then in early July, going to head out to Georgia to go to Jekyll Island. You ever heard of it?
I have not.
It's right on the coast. It's just north of Jacksonville, on the southeastern corner of the coast of Georgia. I'd never even heard about it before. My dad and stepmom brought up the idea. We're like, sure, let's do it. It's apparently where like dudes like Rockefeller and like the big tough, like the elitist of the elite back in like the 20s, that's where they would go. Like it was like their elite getaway island. It's now kind of become more like a natural preserve type place, but
really,
yeah. So check that out. See what it's all about.
Simple, you're going to Carter Lake.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be in Manawa quite a bit. Carter Lake,
La Mesa,
a nice
La Mesa, and Lake Manawa.
Yeah, La Mesa, right on that expressway between Manawa and Council Bluffs.
Your vacation's going to be a trip to Indy in July.
Yeah, the Sundowner Margarita at La Mesa is pretty good. Sometimes I hit two of those.
Let's go.
I feel like I'm on vacation. All right, let's go. That's probably enough.
Abby, you got the big camping trip this year?
I don't know if we'll go.
Why, Abby?
Well, it's a long time to be away from work, and there's no internet at all. So when your job is like 90% Twitter, it's kind of hard.
You know, John, you could be doing something crazy, too, if you were out there.
Is our job 90% Twitter?
Twitter is like, okay, when I first started.
It feels like it. I'm always on there.
The Daily Nebraskan, when I was first there, they had a fax machine.
Okay.
And
this was year
99, 2000-ish. But like you did. Emails didn't really come to you like they do now, like the press releases and whatnot. They would send faxes to the Daily Nebraskan office, and that's what you had to check for.
Yep. I remember that. I was a sports clerk at the Journal Star back at that same time, and it's like one of our jobs was to go over and check the faxes and get press releases and stuff like
but
that.
But there wasn't
Nebraska.
An urgency to turn and burn. I mean, the urgency was
all night.
Like 9 o'clock at night. You had all, like, you could go leave for dinner and come back.
I used to do it all the time. There'd be breaking football story in the morning. I'd do a little reporting, go home and mow the lawn, come back at 8 o'clock, got till 10 o'clock to write.
The writing was way better back then.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Because you had time to perfect
speak
it.
Speak for yourself there, Sean.
Well, you had time to...
Yours in particular, sir.
Perfect it and go over it and... You know, you're really worried about the next morning. You weren't worried about, like, that second.
No, absolutely not. It was way, different times. Better
simpler
times.
Times.
Better times. Better times.
Mm. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll close the show. Husker Basketball Talk with Robin Washett. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel, Robin Washett, final segment here, talking Nebraska basketball as we saw one of the more impressive, not, I wouldn't call it their best win of the year, Robin, but just the way they kind of choked out Penn State and dominated that second half.
That's a good way to put it.
You'd say it's the best defensive performance of the year.
It was a real ugly first half, but you never really felt like Nebraska was going to lose this.
Because they played so well defensively. And that was like Fred's big message that I guarantee you he's been hammering home the last few days is that, you know, the offense struggled. 11 a.m. tip, you know, they're just sleepy. Mm-hmm. No, the shots weren't falling, but they didn't let it affect their effort defensively. They brought it on that end of the floor from start to finish, and they controlled the game throughout. And eventually, the offense got going, and it all started clicking. So that's something that he always tries to stress, especially when you talk about this conversation of how they're going to get it done on the road. Well, that's how you do it. You go and bring that kind of effort defensively, you're going to get it figured out more often than not.
Rob, there was a beautiful moment in that game, and you'll remember it. It was, I don't know if you saw it or not, but you remember the time period. Penn State had actually closed it to 55-43 in the second half. Mm-hmm. And Casey made a three, top of the key type three, and then was doing this kind of celebration, which he does. And Rink looked at him and pointed at the floor and said, play defense. Play defense. And I thought it was a great moment to see Rink, like just to see that level of focus and that level of leadership, they have something going over there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's the leadership that you would have hoped was going to come up more often than it has, especially in those road games, because that's been their issue. When adversity hits, they struggle on the road, whereas at home, they do things like that. They rally together. And so you know, obviously, again, we have to always preface, we're taping this on Tuesday. They play Wednesday night on the road, so things could change in the next 24
Rob,
hours.
Rob, Illinois, they did not back down at Illinois. They lost the game, but there was no back down.
Right, but at Iowa, there was. Yeah. Wisconsin, there was. Maryland, there was. Northwestern, there was. So that's kind of the issue, that the consistency, or should I say inconsistency, of the focus and effort on the road compared to the how consistent it is at home. Like, that's kind of the most baffling thing about this team. They look like a top 10 team at Pinnacle Bank
Arena. They do.
And then they look like they've never played basketball together sometimes on the road.
Guys, Penn State's not that bad. They're pretty good.
No. Everybody in the Big Ten's good at home.
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Yeah.
And Robin, Nebraska has 3 road games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
What is the updated KenPom, especially after Ohio State's win against Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
What's the KenPom saying for the final 3 home games?
Yeah, it hasn't changed much. Nebraska is favored in 2 of 3.
2 of 3 road games or home games?
2 of 3 road games.
They are.
Indiana and Michigan.
Okay.
They are a 2-point favorite, 58% chance Wednesday night against Indiana, and then a 3-point, 61% favorite at Michigan. The Ohio State game, which is really interesting because obviously they responded with their hair on fire. After Holtman's firing against Purdue, what is that team going to look like in two weeks? Right now, Nebraska is a 1-point dog per KenPom with a 46% chance of winning it. In other words, Nebraska is right there in all 3 of these remaining road games. So opportunities to not only eliminate that goose egg of no conference road wins, but potentially get multiple conference road wins is there, and it's as good of a chance as they've had over these final 3 road
games.
Big
game Wednesday night. Big game.
Huge.
Well, and even Minnesota, after the way that game ended.
Yeah.
And it's a Sunday night game, so.
Minnesota's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they?
Yeah. No, I mean, there was. So when I was up there in December, I was talking with some other Minnesota beat writers, and like, you know, they were still jostling around the idea of, like, would Minnesota make a firing with Ben Johnson during the season? Like, that's kind of where their season was. And now, he's not going anywhere.
They're NIT at least, point, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way that they've been able to kind of stabilize their season and become at least a consistently competitive group, that's a heck of a job compared to where people thought that team was headed.
Robin, I think that will be – I do think, and I agree with you 100%, Nebraska looks like a top 15 team at home. I think Minnesota will be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be a tough game.
Yep. 70% chance for Nebraska to win that one.
They have a point guard. Farrell Payne's playing really well. They bring in some guy off the bench that shoots the hell out of it.
Yeah. Hawkins is the guy, the point guard.
Okay.
He's a stud.
Farrell Payne is playing really well.
He's their big guy down low. And then they have Dawson Garcia, who's.
And then another guy has emerged off the bench.
Christie?
Yes. Christie. Yep. Who went through a stretch of 4 games where he averaged 16 points a game. He can really shoot it. They're a little dangerous. That's the home game I'm most interested in, Minnesota.
Well, and that was a game, too. I mean, Nebraska, like, that's where, like, the road woes started. Because they went to Minnesota, and they were up double digits at halftime, and they completely blew it down the stretch because they did not respond to the way Minnesota got things rolling. And none of those veteran leaders that we talk about on Nebraska's roster was able to kind of get things under control. And they just let things continue to snowball. No one stepped up and made a play. So in the rematch, I guarantee you that those veterans on Nebraska's roster are going to look to change that
Especially the bigs. Mm-hmm. I thought against Minnesota, that's where Nebraska's a little, I don't know, susceptible to against teams that have strong, athletic big men. And Minnesota has that.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin, the Bracket Matrix has Nebraska in 96 out of 98 brackets right now.
That's pretty good.
Currently, they have them as the last 10 seed. So they're right on the line of being a 10 and 11. Northwestern's a 9 seed. Michigan State's a 7. Wisconsin a 5 now. Illinois a 4. And Purdue a 1. So those are the only Big Ten teams in the dance. And that's been kind of the trend. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to get probably 6 teams in, and Nebraska's the 6.
Yeah, and could play themselves up a little higher, too. Get a couple road wins, hold course at home, do something in Minneapolis, and all of a sudden you're going into the conference tournament playing for seeding rather than trying to earn a spot in the field.
Lots to keep up on, and make sure you stay on HuskerOnline.com. We got a great special right now for our YouTube listeners. To get 2 months of access for $1, simply use promo code NU1 to access Husker Online for 2 months for $1. Robin will have full coverage here of basketball over the weekend. Obviously, Grant Hansen on top of baseball. They're at Grand Canyon for a four-game set over the weekend. Will Bolt's team went 1-2 in their first weekend out. And then we'll have another in-state tour event on Sunday. So, so much going on, even on a very slow time of the year. We appreciate the support of all our loyal listeners. Make sure you check us out at Husker Online. For Abby Barmore, Steve Siffle, Robin Washett, I'm Sean Callahan.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.